I'm going to begin this morning by saying some statements to you that, unfortunately, we all know to be true. Loyalty is not always rewarded. Bad things happen to good people, and justice is not always swift. These are statements that are true and are relevant to the plight of David that we read about today, but also a real dilemma for people in the world that we live in today. And I'm sure you will have reflected on some of these statements being true in your own life as well. But how did David get into the situation that we read about today in 1 Samuel 19, verses 1 to 11, where he had to flee from Saul after he had served Saul so well and even gained a great victory? Well, it comes from the jealousy of Saul. You see, after David had defeated Goliath, saved Israel, and ironically Saul's throne, David, of course, received unrivaled adulation, which built up a following for David that would help him to unify Israel in the future, but also wounding Saul's ego. It led to Saul seeing David as a threat instead of his greatest ally, which he was. And this led him to treat him horrendously. From rewarding him as a great warrior, soon Saul was attempting to entrap David and even to kill him. Now, before we jump into today's lesson, I want to address something in the reading that is stated regarding the Lord and Saul. It says, "Now an evil spirit of the Lord came on Saul as he was sitting in his palace." Now, some liberal theologians might argue that Saul was not in control, that this spirit sent from God had taken him over, that he'd become some kind of a vessel to outplay God's will to establish his royal line through David. I believe this to be a dangerous perversion of the scriptures, though. God is completely good all the time. We know this to be true, and it is written time and time again in Scripture about the character of God. And he permits free will to humans. We are always able to choose good. But to choose good, there has to be a choice made between good and evil. Just as in the case of the temptation in the garden that saw humankind fall from grace, there was a garden filled with things, good things, and there was one tree that the Lord instructed Adam not to eat from. Adam and Eve were not made to eat from that tree. But if they were to choose what is good, there had to be a choice for them to make. The same is true when Judas betrays Jesus to the Jewish authorities. John's account of the Last Supper has been used by some liberal theologians to say that Judas had no choice over Satan entering into him to betray him, that like Saul, he was simply a vessel for which God's will could prevail upon. But this is not true. Judas betrayed Jesus. He could have chosen good, but he had the choice, and he chose to do evil. And it is the same here with Saul. Saul had repeatedly chosen to go against the Lord's precepts. He was hardening his heart to God and to the trajectory of moving towards God. Instead, he had chosen a trajectory leading away from God, and he was hardening his heart. And so God had rejected him as king. Now, this is an important thing to recognize. Up until this point, God had not rejected him as a person, he had only rejected him as a king. And at any point, Saul could have repented and acknowledged what was becoming obvious to him, as it had been to others, that David is God's choice for king and not Saul. Saul had even heard this directly from God through Samuel. And I mean, just imagine the testimony of repentance that it would have been for Saul had he recognized his hardening of his heart to God and repented of it and given up his throne for God's choice as king. Would God not have loved him greatly for that? I mean, what glorious obedience he would have been giving to God by doing that. And sometimes, friends, we are called to recognise that we are not the best person for a job. If only world leaders could recognise this and step to one side for someone more suitable than them to take up the position, the world would be in a much better place. But for the lack of Saul's humble obedience to God, we have a contrast of one who is obedient, his son Jonathan. He possessed this humble obedience to David, God's choice. Imagine, Jonathan could have been like his father, wanting that which could have been perceived as his birthright, to possess the throne of Israel, to have all the power and majesty that went with it. And yet he recognized David's righteousness. He recognized as David having the Lord's favor. And he loved him for it. And he was willing to support David. And he risked his own life to preserve David's life. And Jonathan is a model for how the Christian must be prepared to live. As Jonathan was willing to give his life to protect David, so must we be willing to give our lives for Jesus, to protect the identity of Jesus. We must be willing to speak up and protect the biblical Jesus from being assassinated. We must stand firm for the biblical truths and say, even when it's unpopular or risky to do so, that the Bible is true and the Bible is alive, and that Jesus is the Jesus of the Bible is true and that Jesus is alive. Now, unfortunately, many within the church today has rejected the king that the Lord has anointed, much like Saul did. People in the church today have watered down the message of the scriptures and perverted its truth. The kind of Jesus that they profess is a watered down Jesus, a Jesus of half-truths, where they say, I accept this about him, I don't accept that. Like Saul, they, therefore, have rejected God's sovereignty and God's choice as king, instead clinging on to power for themselves, placing themselves on the throne or some notion of kingship that is not God's choice. And I believe that there is a parallel here to be drawn between what happens to David here and what will happen to those who follow and proclaim Jesus as king, as the king that God wants us to see. And inasmuch, David is a type of church. He's a type of Christ, because Christ, we are his body, we are in the church. So what happens to David is very similar to what happens, a blueprint, in fact, for what happens to his church. David is chosen by God. By accepting Jesus as our Saviour, we are chosen by God and we reside in Christ's body, the church, Jesus, who is the chosen one of God. David follows the Lord by living a righteous life. Like David, we follow the Lord. We have chosen to follow Jesus by repenting for sin and trying to love one another, as he commands us to do. David, through faith, conquers death as he slays Goliath. We, through faith in Jesus, conquer the grave. David ascends the hills for the Lord's protection and is sheltered and protected. Likewise, the church on the day of the Lord, the dead in Christ shall be raised first, and those who remain will be raptured or taken up to be with the Lord, lifted out away from danger and into safety. David wages war against his enemies and is victorious, and his reign begins. We, with Jesus, will come to earth as Jesus begins his 1,000-year reign on earth, defeating that which is evil, having a victory, and beginning his reign. David is corrupted by sin. Unfortunately, during his reign, he does become corrupted by sin, and he pays the penalty, the death of his son, and then a rebellion of one of his other sons. And he has to flee again. And at the conclusion of Christ's 1,000-year reign, would you believe it? It's unbelievable, but there are still some who choose the way of sin. And there is one last great rebellion and death as a result. David overcomes the rebellion that happens in his kingdom. He returns to his throne and he judges those who rebelled against him. And on the day of judgment, Jesus will judge from his throne before all things are made new. Then David prepares for the building of the Lord's temple, but it is built during Solomon's reign, during a new reign. Likewise, after the judgment, the new heaven and earth are established after the old has passed away. So you see how God reveals his plans in the reign of David. God is constantly disclosing information to us like this through the scriptures. And a careful reading of the Hebrew scriptures, that's the Old Testament, show how the Lord acts with Israel becomes an entire dress rehearsal for how he will act with the Gentiles and the rest of the world. Isn't that incredible? And it says so in scripture as well. This is not me cooking it up. It says that this is what he will do in scripture through the prophet Isaiah. Chapter 46, verses 9 to 10, he says, "Remember the former things of God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is no one like me, declaring the beginning from the ancient times, the things that are not yet done." And in Proverbs 25, it says that we are to be revealed these things if we search them. It says, "It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honour of kings to search out a matter." We share the kingship of Christ. We are to search these things out by reading God's scripture and having the Holy Spirit speak to us through it. And there is one final lesson that I want you to take from today's reading regarding David's decision to run from Saul instead of fighting. David's popularity was such that he could have caused a rebellion. He had the king's son and daughter on his side. He had the elite of the fighting men in Israel following him, alongside many other fighting men. However, he chose, instead of probably being able to topple Saul, to flee. And this is an important lesson for all of us to observe. Jesus teaches us that power is not always to be exercised just because we can. Just because we can do something doesn't mean we should. Just look at the way that Jesus stayed his hand throughout time. Even though he was teased and berated at the cross to have the Father's angels come down and save him, to take him down, he didn't use that power at that time. Just because you have the power to do something doesn't mean you should. God's timing is all important. When you're a young adult, you realise that you can do anything you want, don't you? And that you no longer need your parents' permission. And this can lead to overindulgence. You eat too much of the things that are bad for you. You drink too much. You abuse your body in different ways. Hopefully not before it's too late, you realise that just because you can eat burger and fries every day, you shouldn't. And just because you're allowed to go down to the pub and drink alcohol every day, you shouldn't. And before you know it, and hopefully before it's too late, you start ordering your life by the rules that your parents have instilled in you. Likewise, David, aware of the righteousness of the Lord, is aware that just because he can rebel and possibly topple Saul, that he shouldn't, that it wouldn't be a healthy thing to do. He realizes that he must continue to trust in the ways of the Lord. And much like a newly graduated child might return to the family home after graduating from university to work out what it is they're to do with their life, so David retreats into the hills to be under the protection of the Lord, to take refuge in him, meditating on his ways, preparing himself for that which he has been anointed to do and be, the King of Israel. This is an example of the kind of meditation that went on by David as he rested in the Lord in the hills. It's from Psalm 11. In the Lord I take refuge. How then can you say to me, flee like a bird to your mountain? For look, the wicked bend their bows. They set their arrows against the strings to shoot from the shadows at the upright in heart. When the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord is on his heavenly throne. He observes everyone on earth. His eyes examine them. The Lord examines the righteous, but the wicked, those who love violence, he hates with a passion. On the wicked he will rain fiery coals and burning sulphur. A scorching wind will be their lot. For the Lord is righteous. He loves justice. The upright will see his face. And so you see, David, the insecurity that he feels, but the acknowledgement that he is with the Lord. And by the end of what I've just read to you there, you see that David is of one heart with the Lord, understanding that the Lord does not like violence, that he hates it with a passion, and that things will be done if he trusts in the Lord, in the Lord's own good time. So may we, like David, seek refuge in the Lord instead of taking matters into our own hands, that we too might learn of his righteous ways. May we apply this in our lives today. Amen.